Father, we come before you in the precious name of your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the name which you gave him by inheritance, and believing that that same name has been given unto us as sons. Believing, Father, that you are here, your presence has come. It is said of the Parousia that it is to be the greatest show of your presence since ever there was a time that you visited man. And Father, we've truly seen that you have opened up the entire Bible. You have revealed every mystery. And now, Father, we're just waiting for the shout to move into the time of resurrection. We pray, Father, we'll be ready for that time. That we'll be grown up, we'll be mature, we'll be responsible as sons and daughters of God. Help us, Father, to get ready for that time, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Now, be with us tonight as we continue in this series, Lord. Help us to understand better, Lord, why you have done things the way you have done. How it is, Lord, that your prophet Moses, that his face actually manifested your great glory. And yet, Lord, we didn't see a light on Brother Brown's face, but yet we saw your life manifested through that man. In a way, Lord, which no man having lived, who was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth to the world speaking lies, lived as that man did. And yet, Father, we know your Son did, but he was the first begotten, the only begotten. So, Lord, we realize that this is resurrection time coming. Harvest time is here. And we ask you, Father, that we might be ready for that harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, congratulations. Do I just kind of come up here a second and just hold him up? Let everybody see.
He's kind of asleep.
He's asleep, but hold him up so the camera can get. This is our latest edition.
Okay.
And he's sleeping right now. That's okay. He's opened his eyes. Okay, good. And what's his full name?
Solomon Peter Shearer.
Peter Shearer. All right. We also have another one on the way. And Sister Lydia could talk to you about that after service. Brother Christian and his wife are planning to have a baby in December.
Amen.
Right? Is that correct? So, Lord is adding to our numbers. And it's just wonderful. All right. Well, God bless you all, and this evening, let's just stand to our feet. We're going to read a couple paragraphs from Brother Branham's sermon from the Unveiling of God, paragraph 66 through 68. Oh, church, and if this tape goes out, can't you see, ministers of the gospel, where you're living? Can't you see the hour that we're in? God showing himself, setting aside. Now look, he took that temple veil and he tore it in pieces that they might see God in plain view. And they was too blind to see it. And he's done the same thing today, putting his word right out in front, what he promised, every promise of the word laying right before us in plain view. You know what the Gentile church does? The same thing the Jewish church did, too blind to see it. That's all. It'll be on their hearts just as it was in that day. Now notice, death to stay away from it now. You must go into it through the veil or you won't. How God could have mercy on them, but remember what it was said, that God is manifesting what was behind that veil. Watch what was behind the veil, the Word. What did it veil? The Word. What was it? It's in the ark. It was the Word that had been, that veil had hid. See? And Jesus was that Word, and he's the Word, and the veil of his flesh is hid it. And today the veil of traditions hides the Word again, saying it's not so, but it is so. God testifying of it, blasting himself right out as bright as the sun before everyone, and they fail to see it. God be merciful to us. In type, Moses coming from the presence of God with the Word of God for that age. Now watch, we're now in Exodus 19. Don't miss this now. Exodus 19, Moses is coming from the presence of God, or 20, 21. Moses coming from the presence of God, he has been into the Word. and the word's been wrote, and he in the presence of God with the word, and he had the word for that age. There's a word for each age, and Moses coming forth, his face shined so. See, the word was in him, ready to be manifested, give out to the people the true word. God had wrote it, and it was with Moses. Now notice it was with Moses and was ready to be manifested. He was the word to them. He was the living word, hid, veiled himself. Moses had to put a veil over his face. Why? He was that word. Amen. And until that word was made known, Moses had to veil himself. Amen. Do you see it? Wherever the word is, it is veiled. Let's just bow our heads one more time. Father, we just want to thank you for the reading of your spoken word. And Father, we're going to take this and turn it back into the written word, which we know both are vindicated. And so we just ask that you be with us as we do so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now Moses had the word, he says. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again. See, but while that word was in him to give out, he was God. For he wasn't Moses no more. He had the word of the Lord for that age. Nothing could touch him that was over, till that was over. Had that word with him. So therefore, when he come, the people turned their heads. They couldn't understand. He'd been changed. He was a different fellow. He come with the word, and he put a veil. And the Bible said, over his face, for he had the word, and he was the word to them. Now, we see the same thing. We see the same thing with the life of Jesus. They couldn't touch him. You know, there's many times they wanted to stone him. The Bible says, I think, two or three times they wanted to stone him. They wanted to take him one time to the cliff overlooking the city, and they wanted to throw him off the cliff. And he just walked right through. It wasn't time. And as long as it wasn't his time, they couldn't do nothing to him. As long as God was in him, bring that word. How can you kill God? You can't kill God. You see? Now, Brother Bram is hitting hard at the ministers here because he's talking about a prophet of God, Moses, coming from the presence of God, and it's all about the presence of God. Yet the ministers just don't seem to catch that. The fivefold ministry are supposed to get the people ready for the adoption, and that is what Ephesians 4 is all about. So let's just turn to Ephesians 4, and we're going to see what the Apostle Paul says here. Ephesians 4 and 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he's ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. So, who gave some? God gave some. He gave some to be apostles, and some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And why did he give these gifts to the church? Well, he tells us in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. That means for the finishing off, the maturing of the saints. So if that is the reason God sent these gifts to the church, how are you going to get mature and ready for adoption outside of God's provided way? And they are also given, he says, for the working of the ministry. Now, the working of whose ministry? Their ministry? No. Nope. The ministry of Jesus Christ, that is what Brother Bram says. And why is that? It's for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Now, from the stature of a perfect man, Brother Bram says, let's turn to Ephesians 4 and find out over here what in the book of Ephesians it says about this thing too. About how we should do. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and beginning with the 12th verse, Ephesians 4, and beginning with the 12th verse, all right, let's begin up here at the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets. Remember last night, don't try to take another man's office, see? And some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of God. Does it read like that? The perfecting of the what? The saints. Now listen, when he says, don't try to take another man's office, that means if you're called to be a fivefold prophet, you can't take the office of a vindicated prophet. You can't take the office of a word prophet. If you're a teacher, you can't take the place of a vindicated word prophet. If you're a pastor, you can't take the place of a vindicated word prophet. And if you're a pastor, you don't take the place of a teacher, etc. You see? Now, it's for the perfecting of what? He said the saints. And who are the saints? The sanctified ones. The ones who started from down here, perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. What is that? John 14, 12. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying, building it up, edifying, until we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into the perfect man. Unto the assurance, oh my, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means the character of Christ. Now, I thought we would have time tonight, so I planned it, but I realized shortly before service that I don't think we can get through about 20-some pages again. So we're going to try to hit about only about 10, 11 pages tonight, and I'm going to have to put those off to maybe Wednesday night, where we actually get into showing this, where the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the building of the character of Christ in the body, that's actually the work that of the fivefold ministry is supposed to get the people prepared and in such a manner that that all their thoughts are going to be God. Now remember, we couldn't do it except for God doing it through us, because it's not the preacher that preaches, it's God that preaches using the vessel. You see, the fivefold ministry is just a vessel, no more, no different than a prophet is a vessel. All right. Till we all come in the, and if it's not God working in you to will and to do, then you're not going to will and you're not going to do. So it doesn't matter who gets up here and talks to you. All right. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, and remember, there's only one faith, and that's the faith or the revelation of that one Lord, and the knowledge of the Son of God, and unto a perfect man, and unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, there are people out there who say, well, you know what, we understand that there's every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, and therefore, our church doesn't talk doctrine. We just don't talk doctrine at all. You know, you're worse off than those that do. Because Brother Brown said, you can't even have a church. A church without doctrine is like a jellyfish without a backbone. The people are just as confused as ever. They don't know what you stand for. You see? So Paul is telling us that the body must fit perfectly with the head, which is Christ. And that is the ministry of the fivefold offices that God has placed in the church to help you to get there. He continues, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, notice, in the vanity of their mind. Now notice that the ministry of the fivefold offices or gifts that God has placed in the church is to help you grow up into the stature or the character of Christ. And then Paul tells us that we are not to walk like other Gentiles do in the vanity of their own mind. He says the vanity of your mind will lead you to blindness and death. Having their understanding darkened, he says, they become alienated from the life of God. What does the word alienated mean? Can anybody tell me?
Apart from.
Huh?
Apart from.
Apart from. What else? Separated. Okay. All right. Notice then, having their understanding darkened, they become, because of that, they become alienated or separated or apart from the life of God. And how does that happen? He says, through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart, remember the blindness of their understanding, because they have a spiritual veil over their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. That shouldn't be black, that should be red. It was meant to be bolded. Okay. So this evening we're going to look at how the fivefold ministry works in line with the reflection that God gave through his word prophet. And that is the only way any minister can reflect the light of God's glorious presence so perfectly. The fivefold minister can only do this as he aligns himself to that light coming forth from the prophet of his age. For God truly shall do nothing unless he reveals it first to and then through the prophets. Now notice, in this sermon, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever, Brother Branham says, notice if Jesus did those things in that day, and he raised up from the dead, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's obligated to his word. Now his corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is here working through his sanctified vessels, plural. And God has set in the church what? He's going to tell us what those vessels are. First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists, then pastors. Is that right? For the perfecting of the church. God has did it. It's not the preacher that preaches. It's God preaching through him. It's not the prophet that sees visions. It's God speaking through him. I do nothing except the Father show me first what to do. That's the reason he had to go through Samaria. That's why all these other things taking place follow his life and see if that isn't right. And from his sermon, Putting on the Whole Armor of God, Brother Branham says, now, God fortified his army, what with himself, in the form of prophets, apostles, teachers, and pastors. Now, remember we read this morning, he said those prophets, teachers, pastors, etc., they are God's clothing. They're God's wear. He said that's God wear. You know, like you have the full armor of God. He said, this is God wear. So what did he do? What was God doing? Listen. Did you ever think what those offices of the church is? It's God's dress. His inside dress. An apostle, a prophet, a seer, foresee, before Satan ever gets to it, done told it. What is it? God dressed up in his church. These offices is God's dress wear. When you see these offices, a pastor, teacher, evangelist, what is it? That's God's dress wear. God's presence. God's spirit, and it's working through man. And if that office denies any of this word, then it's not God dressing. No, not that. That's that wolf in sheep's clothing. Watch that fellow. Beware of him. But when he just takes that word, says, and remember, that's God, because he's speaking his word. See? But if he says, well, it isn't, or get going, sheep, get going. So you're told by this vindicated prophet that if a man presents himself as any of the fivefold gifts from God and doesn't say what God has said, you had better get away from that person. Because the true fivefold gifts are God in action. God said for the work of the ministry. And William Branham said, it is for the work of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And he said, and Jesus said, and the Son can do nothing until the Father shows me first what to do. Now from confirmation of the commission, Brother Branham said, see, it's either whether you take what some organization said, some man-made theory said, well, they'll preach the doctrine of that theory, and then, well, that's their credential to the deacon board or whatever it is, that they stand in good fellowship with that organization. And I have nothing against that, understand, but I'm only defending what Jesus said. See, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And Jesus said in St. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, that's absolutely, absolutely, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And how can a man believe that he is sent from God and then turn around and deny the very commission that God said would take place? That would be the identification of every person that he sent up. So how could I get up here and say, John 14:12 is only for William Branham? I would be denying my commission. I would be denying that God sent me. I might as well just sit down. That's why we have so many people only playing tapes. Because they're afraid of the commission. They're afraid to step into it. It's like when I was in Africa, the Holy Spirit said, go and take charge of the meeting, and I had no clue what to do. I had no clue. I mean, I just sitting like any of you there. God tells you to do something, and the first thing you think is, how? I had no clue. And when I took my first step, because just in obedience, I know that if I'm obedient, he's obligated to take over. And so my very first step that I took, my right foot, as it was going from here to there, it's about, what, half a second, maybe a third of a second, something like that. I had like what seemed to be about a 30-second mental vision in my mind. I could see it. And I could see Brother Branham, the first step, I could see Jesus sitting up in the boat. It had been raining, the storming, the waves were coming into the boat. He was, had been sleeping. And the apostles were afraid they were going to drown. And he sits up and he says, peace be still. Then by the time I took that second step, which was another half or third of a second, it seemed like I had another 30 seconds of seeing Brother Branham running around the tree, running around, the eagles in the tree, and running around, just shouting and screaming because God had stopped the storm in Colorado. So I knew that the eldest brother and an older brother of mine, when God told them to take care of that situation, it was done. So I went to the pulpit, and still not understanding what I'm even supposed to say, but when I got to the pulpit, something within me, and on the way there, the devil was telling me, you're going to make a fool of yourself. And all I could think of that story, Brother Branham said, about the guy that was wearing the sign, says, I'm a fool for Christ. And then in the back, it said, whose fool are you? So I thought, well, I'm going to be a fool for Christ. Because the devil kept saying, see, it's not going to happen. You're going to put yourself out on the limb. It's not going to happen. And you're just going to be a big fool and don't fall flat on your face. And I thought, well, that's not my problem. That's God's problem. And I stood at the pulpit, and I was getting ready to speak, and the Holy Spirit quickened to me that Brother Branham would say, I take charge of every spirit in here for the glory of God. And so I said the same thing. I just said what he said. Remember, he said, say what's on the tapes. I said what he said, and all of a sudden, and I rebuked that the devil. I acknowledge that he is the prince of power of the air, but I acknowledge who he is. But I said, but that singer was pulled out on Calvary. You have no more. You're a bluff. And when I prayed those words, the Holy Spirit did what he told me to go up and to you know, just I was just like the stone that he threw up in the air and start to whirlwind. You know, God has to do something. All right. So I took a little vessel of his, a child of his, a son of his, brought him to the pulpit, said, do this. I did it. I did exactly what he spoke to me in my heart, and God brought the results. God stopped the storm. You see? It's like Brother Steve, you know, and you think, well, that's just a pastor. That's a five-fold ministry. That's because, you know, you're anointed by God to do these things. Listen, if you're a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. You know, he had one of his, I don't know, 28 cats or whatever. How many got now? 29. Probably just another week or two and have 30, 40. All right, anyway. So, he's got a cat that's very sick. He's got some type of, an abscess or some type of a lump on his side. And all he could think to do was just lay hands on that cat and pray. Next day, the cat was better. So, you see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't even have to be some super-duper thing in a church congregation. You know, Enoch walked with God and his life was pleasing to God. That's what God's calling us to, is a life that we just do what he tells us to do. We're obedient children. All right? And so Brother Bram said, how can a man believe that he's sent from God and then turn around and deny the very commission that God said would? That would be the identification of every person that he sent out. That's why I take my stand. I've seen God do John 14:12. Now look, you know, you can say, well, you know what, you're not the sweetest guy. That's not John 14:12. Show me where that's John 14:12. Jesus went in the temple with a whip. Was that John 14:12? Absolutely. He did what the Father told him to do. You know, sometimes the preacher, Brother Branson, has to hit that thing hard and nail it down. You say, well, you know, I would have done it different. Well, then you would have done it not God's way. You know, I mean, if you're going to do it your way, that's fine, but you won't get God's results. You'll get your results. It might be political results. And maybe you have a bigger church because of it. But you won't have the people there that God wants there. All right? And that's how you tell whether ministry is a true ministry or not. Brother Brown said it is in anointed ones at the end time. It is not the anointing that we judge, but it is the word that we judge. It's the word that they teach. Either it is in line with the prophet of the age, or it's not. Remember when Micaiah was called in to Ahab and what was the other prophet from? Anyway, he's a good prophet. I mean, good king. And they called and he said, "Well, don't you have any other prophets?" He said, "Well, I got one, but he hates me. So we'll bring him on. Let's just hear what he says." That was Micaiah the prophet. Micaiah could only say what Ahab had already said. And so he said it. And Ahab said, well, I knew he was going to say that. Well, yeah, because it's already been said to you, Ahab. And you want to go sinning anyway. And so he only said so he said, throw him in the prison. He said, well, throw him in the prison. And he said, when I get back, I'll deal with him. He said, ha, if you get back, then God didn't call me. If you get back, God didn't even tell me what to say. So, that's it. You can only say what the vindicated prophet for the age says. Either it's in line with the prophet of the age, or it's not. Either their sermons will be mostly scripture, showing where the quotes of the spoken word are found in the Bible, or they will not be. And God will back up what they teach with his supernatural presence. And if that is not happening, then you are just listening to a lecturer. No matter how great the man may sound, if the Holy Spirit is not there to back up what is said with his supernatural presence, then it is not God in action, and it is not God in that ministry, but just a man claiming what he actually is not. Now, from the Church Age book, Smyrna Church Age, paragraph 140, Brother Brown tells us how God has chosen to bring the word down to the people. He said, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. And Brother Bell said, to be faithfully taught, it takes two things. One, who is faithful to teach, and another and others who are faithful to just shut up and listen. The problem is, there's not too many that are willing to just shut up and listen. They always got questions. They question this, question that. But the problem is that not everyone who hears the prophet echoes what he said. Many take what they want, and they let go of that which they don't want. But they refuse to say all that was said and how it was said. Therefore, they are not truly reflecting what was said. And Brother Branham goes on to say, but of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Now remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37, he said, if any man think himself to be a prophet or even spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? They add here, they take there, and soon the message is no longer pure, and the revival dies down. I want you to think about that. Because if the same message is not being preached, then the people are going to go into sin, they're going to get hard, they're going to get adulterous, they're going to get worldly, they're going to go, and you're not going to see the same effect upon the people as was from the original. How careful we must be to hear one voice, for the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Now, Brother Graham also said in his sermon, Things That Are to Be, he said, a prophet is a reflector of God. He is made so that he cannot speak his own words. It has to be God's words that he speaks. He is just a reflector, and he is God's mouthpiece. And from his sermon, God's only provided place of worship, he said, a prophet is God's reflector. How many knows that? The reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. Like Brother Branham said, when Brother Hell had gotten up the first night and said, and tried to quote what the angel had said on the river, as John the Baptist forerun your first coming, so shall you forerun my second coming. They said, no, Brother Vale, that's not what the angel said. And then they quoted it and quoted what they thought he said. So Brother Vale quotes to the people the next night what he heard those that were following Brother Branham were saying, which was, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your ministry forerun my second coming. And Brother Brown took Brother Bell aside and said, no, Doc, that's not it. He says, that's not me, and it's not my ministry. It's the message. As John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your message forerun my second coming. You see, if you're going to say it like he said on the tapes, you've got to say it the way he said it on the tapes. Because you say, so shall the second coming forerun you. Or so shall you forerun the second coming. That's not what he said. He said the message will. Brother Ben has been gone for 60 years. But the message is still moving. You see? Because the message is Christ. Alright, so he's just a reflector and he is God's mouthpiece. Again, he said a prophet is God's reflector. How many knows that? The reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. So a prophet is a chosen vessel of God that cannot reflect nothing at all, but he's in direct line with that reflection, God, to reflect the image of Christ, the Word. See, nothing else can do it. You are a reflector. That's the reason the prophet had to eat the book. That's the reason he had to eat the scroll. He had to reflect that Word for that age. You got it. As Brother Bell, when he was teaching on the Omega Revelation, it's in 1982. You can go online to leavell.net. You can pull it down, or you can go to our website and look up the year 1982 under Brother Vale's section and pull out that sermon. And you'll hear Brother Vale describe about going into a room at night. He said, now stand in front of a mirror. He said, when you look in the mirror, you say, well, I see myself. All right, now turn off the lights. Do you see yourself? No, don't see yourself. All right, now turn on a light maybe. Go out in the hallway, turn on a light in the hallway, but close the door of the bathroom and just let a little bit, a crack of light come through. What do you see? Well, if you're wearing a white shirt, you're going to see white. If you're a white man, you're going to see some glimpses of your white reflection. If you're a black man, you're going to see, if you've got a little bit of oil on your head, you're going to see a little bit of that because that's going to reflect, whereas your skin won't reflect so much. If it's black, it doesn't reflect, it absorbs. All right? But the thing of it is, what you're seeing is you're seeing light. You're not seeing yourself. Without light, you would see nothing. You're seeing that light. So when we look in the mirror of the Word and we see Christ, that reflection is Christ. We're not seeing ourselves in the mirror of the Word. I can look up in the Word and say, oh yeah, that's me. Oh yeah, that's me. Oh yeah, that's me. No, you can't do that. But you say, I see Christ here. And you know what? I'm looking and I'm seeing Christ doing the same thing with me as he did right here. That's not about you. It's about Christ. He did it in this one. He did it in this one. He did it in this one. Now it's my turn. It's him that's doing it. It's him that's working in me to will and to do. You see? That's why he can be working in you. He can be working in you and 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 you. It's the same light. It's not about you. It's about him in you. Amen? Okay, so he said there has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. So a prophet is a chosen vessel of God that cannot reflect nothing at all, but he's in direct line with that reflection, God, to reflect the image of Christ the Word. See, nothing else can do it. You are a reflector. That's the reason a prophet had to eat the book. That's the reason he eats the scroll. He had to reflect that word for the age. So go to John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. But notice the darkness comprehended it not. All right? So you cannot expect anybody to see the light of his presence, it says, that they will not comprehend it. And seeing even a glimpse of the reflection of that light causes them so much pain and anguish because it exposes their sinful nature. That's why people that are living in adultery, people that are living in gross sin, don't like to come to church, this church at least. Because the Holy Spirit will speak out. And they'll be uncomfortable and go away and say, man, you know, that pastor really got an attitude. No, that pastor just quoting you the scriptures. It's God that has the attitude. And I want to have, the Bible says, let this attitude that was in Christ be in you. See? But it exposes their sinful nature. And that is why they avoid the truth. It hurts too much. Now, we're looking at this thought that Brother Branham said in the masterpiece, that the masterpiece itself really was but a reflection of what was in the very mind of God. And you cannot have a reflection without having a light, for light is what reflects. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us of the story of the Exodus, verses 33 and 34, in chapter 33 and 34, where Moses stood face to face in the presence of the Lord. When he came down from the mountain, his face so reflected the Shekinah presence of God, reflecting off of his face, that when the people saw it, they feared and caused Moses to have to place a veil over his face. Now remember, this morning we showed you that the Apostle Paul said, that which reflected off of Moses' face, that was the glory of God, that was the doxa of God. So that was the opinions and values and judgments of God. And God gave us a minuscule understanding in the Ten Commandments, which he brought down. But he had been in the presence of God, so the holiness of God was reflecting off of him. The values of God was reflecting off of him. The opinions of God, the judgments of God, they were all reflecting from him. You see? And the people wouldn't come near him, it says. They would not come to the light. So he had to call them. It's like, you know, when you're going down the road and a deer sees those lights, he freezes. Doesn't know what to do. So you got to honk that horn in order to shake him up so that he's aware that there's something coming. Otherwise, he's just mesmerized by that light. And most people, when they see a real, true man of God, they're just mesmerized. They don't know how to handle it. Because they don't have the nature to handle it. You see? So Moses put something over his face to hide God. Having Moses put that veil over his face was, in effect, the people rejecting that light of God that shone or reflected from his face. Now, in Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Exodus 34:35, and the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face until he went in to speak to him. In other words, God will not accept a filter between him and you. He doesn't want a filter over your heart, doesn't want a veil over your heart. All right, you come to him just as open and honest as you can. In 2 Corinthians 3, after the apostle speaks of this episode with Moses and the people, he says to us in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with an open face, that's no traditions, no creeds, beholding as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, the dose of the Lord, the opinions, values, and judgments of the Lord, we are now changed into the same image." The same image of what? Of God. Of his doxa, his image, his opinions, his values, his judgment. How? From glory to glory. See, from man's opinion to God's opinion. All right? From God, man's values to God's values. From God's man's judgment to God's judgment. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Even as, in the same manner. All right? Like we talked about this morning. Now, the Diaglot translation says, "But we all, beholding the glory of the Lord in a face unveiled, are transformed into the same likeness, from glory to glory, as from the Lord's Spirit." So here it looks like we're beholding the Lord's glory, which we are when we open this Bible. And he says, and we are transformed into the same likeness as what we're seeing. This is the Bible, this is the story of him. You know, his history is his story. It's all about him. Alright? And if you pick up this Bible and you don't see it's about him, then you have a veil over your heart. In other words, as we are changed from doxa to doxa, we are transformed into the very mindset of God. What he saw us before the foundations of the word, we are now becoming. That's Ephesians 1:3-4. And just as a statue is brought forth from the great sculptor's mind into manifestation, so are we. Now, and here's the problem. You're all waiting for the money for this to happen. It's happening right now. I can look at you sisters and I can say, okay, you didn't used to dress the way you do now. You didn't used to let your hair out the way you do now. You brothers used to tell dirty jokes and things, but you've cleaned it up. What does that? A mindset. A change of mindset. You see, that's character changing. I've got some quotes that I'm going to share on Wednesday night. Brother Branham says that the mind of Christ in you is the character of Christ in you. And he says, the only thing you're going to take out of here is your character. That's your mindset. Hallelujah. So see, according to the Amplified Version of 1 Corinthians 3:18, and all of us with an unveiled face, because we continued to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor and from one degree of glory to another. When you're born again, you're a child. You think as a child, you thought as a child, but when you become a man, you put away childish thinking. But somewhere between your birth and the full adoption is where you are right now. You know, we've talked about this before. You have your stature and your state. Your stature, I'm a son of God. Your state, well, where am I in God in the progression toward maturity? All right? So, he says, with ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. We're talking this morning. But when you're born again, that's not the end of it. That's the beginning. When you've got a glass full of rocks, that's you. The rocks represent your unbelief, and you fill it with water. You're not full of the Holy Ghost right then. Because each rock that you take out displaces more, this displacement allows more of the water, the Holy Spirit, to come in. So our prayer should be, Father, if I be any otherwise minded, reveal it to me. As David says, search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any iniquity in me. That should be our prayer. Father, what is displeasing to you that I'm doing? And let me know, and I won't do it no more. I just won't. I'll repent. I'll change my mind. I'll change my thinking. So we're changed into his image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That is why the Apostle Paul asks the question, if we need letters of commendation, he answers his own question by saying in 2 Corinthians 3:2, "No, you yourselves are our letter of recommendation, our credentials written in our hearts to be perceived, recognized, known, and read by everyone. You show and make obvious that you are a letter from Christ delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tables of stone, but on tables of human hearts." I'll just say this. Listening to those tapes, you hear the voice of God. It's actually God's voice through the instrument of a prophet. But it's like, it's no different than taking the light, the literal blood of Jesus Christ, and etching it into your being. And you are a vessel without spot or wrinkle, and God is etching His word into you. That's what Paul is saying. God has given me the ministry to take a hold of His Spirit as though I have ink and well, and I have an inexhaustible amount of ink, and I'm etching into your lives a new creation. How many have been changed since they came to this message? I think we all have. All right. You can say, well, that was Brother Brent. No, that was the Holy Ghost. In fact, I'll just say that. This, it'll help you. That was God working in you to will and to do. Just recognize it. Because when you recognize God is already doing it, He's already in you, changing your will to His will, and once you have His will, then changing your ability to do. Because you know it's not me that has to do it, it's Him that's going to do it. It's Him that is doing it. That gives you faith, Brother John. It gives you faith to stand and, like Moses, and step in the water and say, deep, you know, open up. It gives you faith to stand before a great hurricane or tornado or whatever it is and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, desist, go. Hallelujah. It's not you're working yourself up into fanaticism. Look, you can work yourself up into fanaticism. It'll never stop a storm. But the spoken word will. Now the problem we see in the story told to us of Moses coming down from having been in the presence of the Lord and his face glowing, which was a reflection of the Shekinah presence, is that the people feared that presence. It was not Moses' face that they feared to look upon, but the reflection of God that they so feared. If those people had just stood still long enough, they would have begun to reflect the very same light that was reflecting from Moses, from the face of Moses. I'll say this. If you raised up your child to listen to tapes, now listen up, parents. If you raised up your child to listen to tapes and never expose them to the internet and all the vile stuff that's on the internet, you will see at a very young age children reflecting the Word of God. You will see at a very young age sons and daughters of God that are led by the Spirit of God. It's all this other stuff that we allow to come into our lives that pollutes, that takes a hold. If those people had just stood still long enough, they would have begun to reflect the very same light that was reflecting from the face of Moses. And today, if we could just lay in the presence of the light of His glorious presence and absorb the message of the hour which He brought with His presence, we too would begin to reflect the very same nature of the Son of God, just as God Himself reflected His own nature through His uniquely born Son. Hallelujah. Then people would look at you and they couldn't tell the difference between you and Jesus. Outside of maybe some physical abnormalities like nail-scarred hands, crown of thorns where they broke through His skin, etc. But your life would be His life. Your words would be His words. Your thoughts would be His thoughts. When they see you, they see Christ. As Paul said, I want to see nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why so many wanted to deify William Branham. He, like Moses, went up to the mountain and entered into the presence of God and came back a changed man, reflecting the very nature and purpose and will of God to the people of this hour. So we see that a prophet is a reflector, as Brother Bram taught us, and as we see also in the example that the Apostle Paul laid out for us to see in 2 Corinthians 3. We also see in 1 Corinthians 15:49 the same promise that we shall all reflect the image of the Son of God. In 1 Corinthians 15:49, I'd like to read from the Amplified Version. And just as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, so shall we also bear the image of the man of heaven. Now that's a vindicated promise from God. That's a promise from God. I'm believing it with all my heart. And that man of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ, our older brother, in whose image we are conformed to. In Romans 12 and verse 2 it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So you have an option here. You can be conformed to the world, or you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You take it. It's your pick. You take it. "That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Now this proves the will of God. This doesn't. Being conformed to the world doesn't prove anything for God. But being conformed But being renewed in your mind confirms and proves the acceptable and perfect will of God. And what is the will of God that we are to prove? The Apostle Paul tells us what this will of God is that we are to reflect. In Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame, without accusation, before him, in his presence. And then in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So we see the good pleasure of his will is to predestinate us to the adoption of sons. And to get us there, he has to work in us both to will and to do, so that we conform to the image of his firstborn son, in whom God worked in him also to will and to do, according to John 5:19 and John 5:30 and many other scriptures. Colossians 3:10 tells us, the Amplified says, and have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image and of the likeness of him who created it. So see that we are a reflection. Our purpose here in this world is to become a perfect reflector of the Son of God. From his sermon, The Rapture, Brother Branham says, the bride has to be molded and made into the image of Christ. And Christ is the Word. That's the only thing. See? It's in there, in the Word. See? There can't be one thing added. It can't be a woman with one hand like a man and the other like a paw of a dog or whatever. It's got to be exactly the Word of the Lord. Like he is the Word. The bride is a part of the bridegroom. The woman is a part of her husband because she's taken out of the husband. Eve was a part of Adam from his side. And so is the bride, not taken from denomination, but taken from the bosom of the Word of God for this day. Now, how then can a fivefold minister reflect this light so perfectly as a prophet did? He can only do this if he aligns himself to that light coming forth from the prophet of his age. For the Lord God truly shall do nothing unless he reveals it first, and then through the prophets. Now, from his sermon, God's only provided place of worship, Brother Branham said, a prophet is God's reflector. How many knows that? The reflector doesn't reflect itself. The reflector isn't the reflection. There has to be something strike the reflector to make it reflect. So the prophet is the chosen vessel of God that cannot reflect nothing at all, but he's in direct line with the reflection, God, to reflect the image of Christ. Like I've told you, I remember this years ago, probably when I was thinner and I could actually stand inside of a mirror and close it. But you stand before those mirrors and you're trying on a suit, and you got one mirror here and you got two that are at an angle so you can kind of see, how it looks. Well, if you fold those in so they're perfectly parallel with each other, I've counted as many as 29 of myself in those mirrors in each direction. So that makes 56 or 58. 28, 29. Now, if I could have got that more perfectly in line, because it seems like what happens is there's just a hair out and it starts to curve this way. Anybody do that? You know what I'm talking about? It starts to curve this way, or this one starts to curve this way. And if you flip it a little bit, it starts to curve that way. If you get it perfectly lined up, you see into infinity. All right? Word upon word upon word upon word. As Brother Brown got to the place, he said, all my thoughts are of God. That's what we want. Perfectly in line with the Word of God, so there is none of our own thinking. Amen? And Brother Branham says, he's in direct line with the reflection, God, to reflect the image of Christ, the Word. See, nothing else can do it. You are a reflector. That's the reason the prophet had to eat the book. That's the reason he had to eat the scroll. He had to reflect that Word for that age. So we've been talking about the frequency of God during this kind of mini-series, which a frequency is just a cycle time it takes from for the light or the electrical charge to go out and reflect back. And from the spoken word's original seed, Brother Branham says, then from a little group of the true seed of the Word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his Word. And through them, that's you and I, and by them, that's you and I, will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his Word in the Virgin, who knows no man-made creed or dogma, the word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest, he will act himself by his own word of promise so to fulfill all that has been written in him, of him. as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the spirit womb now, so will the virgin now, accepting his word, say, be it unto me according as thou hast said. Though it was said by an angel, while it was yet the written word, Isaiah 9 and 6, but they will love it, love his, and will have his potentials. For he is their head, and they are now subjects, subject to his head. Headship of Christ was his. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See John 5:19. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her, and she receives it. Now, how did God show us? Through the reflection. See? And she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now, I got a great big hallelujah, because here is the secret. The word is in the bride. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. And this is past tense. It's already been here. Now notice the word is ever circling, 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 circling the earth. And there is a chosen vessel called the bride of Christ who is ordained, who is made to be conformed to the image that is ever circling the earth. So she is magnetized to that word, and as she taps into that frequency of the recorded word, she not only hears it, but she understands that it is about her. And she steps into it, and she becomes what she heard and recognized. And thus the Spirit and the bride say, come. Notice she speaks like the sculptor said, like the sculptor said to the sculpturer. He says, speak. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. That is now the masterpiece of God reflecting back God's word. Now, those are not my words, those are his. And I'm only saying what he said and taking it back to the written word. Again, in a sermon, Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Brown said, the thing that matters with the message today is those who obtain it in their heart must lay in the presence of the Son to get ripened. See? You can pick up the message and then let the Son bake all the greenness out of you. See? What's greenness? It's immaturity. And make you matured Christians, he says. You see what I mean? God's coming soon to receive his church, and we must have that type of Christian for him to receive. The wheat's got to get right. That should take you from the place when you see a person who is living just totally vile. And I've seen people that claim to believe this message, their whole life they claim to believe this message, and living in such filthy vile that you don't even hear of worldly sinners doing some of those things. And I have no time for that. I'm sorry. I don't even want that thing around, because a little leaven's a whole lot. Maturity will say, get thee behind me, Satan. Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. We're not going to put up with that. You see? But the millennial spirit, you know, that's amongst all the young people today, it says, oh, you hurt their feelings. I'm sorry, but when you have universities passing out coloring books, passing out little bubbles, passing out little animals, you know, these little stuffed animals, stuffed toys, for college students, 18, 19, 20 years old, to comfort themselves with, I think we have a great mental disease in this nation. And Brother Brown said that the nations would become insane. And that's insanity. When I was a child, I spake as a child because I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish thinking. And it's time that the bride of Christ grows up into him and becomes mature. And she says, feelings, no more. Emotions, no more. It's word upon word upon word upon word. And it'll take a hold of every fiber of your body. Again from a sermon, Hebrews chapter 5, 6. Brother Brown says, but it's the thing that you see in your spirit through the word. The word is God's looking glass that reflects what he is and what you are. In other words, as you see him in this word, or as you see when you listen to those tapes and you see that stand that that man had to take against all odds, you know, the 99% of Christianity was against him. They still are today. And 99% of Christianity is against you. They still are today. You got to be a man and not a child anymore. And say, I don't care. Lord, give me the jawbone of an ass and I'll take them all on. Because I know this. It's by, not by my strength, but it's by your power. See? But it's the things you see in your spirit through the Word. The Word is God's looking glass that reflects what He is and what you are. So you compare yourself with what you see in the mirror. Am I there? Well, looks like you said, Father, if I be any otherwise minded, you reveal it to me. Okay, you just reveal it to me. I need to make a difference in maybe what I do here, what I do there, what I say here, what I say there. All right. Notice the things you see in your spirit, he says. Not what you see in the vessel. Okay. But what your spirit sees in your vessel, in your spirit. You've got to break into that Shekinah presence itself for its death to stay up. Problem people have, and this is, shows the immaturity. Sisters will sit and look at another sister, usually. I don't say it so much in this church. It used to be. I think you're growing out of that. But they look at a sister and say, oh, you know what, she kind of wears this clothes. And, oh, my. And the guy said, you know what, that guy, you know, he's, you know. That shows immaturity. Shows immaturity. Accept the person for who they are. It's no sweat off of your back if they make it or they don't make it. You should be only saying, where am I lining up, Doug? Where am I lining up? Where am I failing as a reflector to show that person Christ? Now, from a sermon, Man That Can Turn on the Light, Brother Brown said, oh God, if we can only understand that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ, His Word made manifest. You are the reflection of His Word. And from a sermon indictment, Brother Brown said, now see, I'm going to say this again. Too many of you are putting that off, saying, oh, I'm going to be in the image one day. I'm going to be in the image one day. No, you are now. You are now sons of God. Then act like it. Act like it. Step into it and act like it. Well, how can you say those things? Because God told me to say them. Because He said them. I'm just saying what my daddy said. I'm just saying what my older brother said. I'm saying what he said. If you don't like it, tough. Tough. Too many preachers. Oh, this might, I might, if I say this, you know, might offend somebody. You got to get to a place where you don't care. I don't care if it's offensive. Jesus said, blessed is he that's not offended in me. If all you're doing is reflecting His Word and it offends, then they're the offended ones. And you're God's reflector. That's it. From a sermon, the indictment, he said, and the Word is the Messiah. You believe that? Well, the reflection of the Word then is what? A reflecting of Messiah, which is the Holy Ghost among us. He's reflecting Himself. Tries to. Whatever he can find a lamp that he took, that he can look through, that ain't smoked up with creeds and things, he can give light through. What if God had called you to be His only begotten Son? Brought you into the temple and you saw the things going on, the money passing back and forth, the greed. You know, that institution was actually set up because people were traveling for a long distance and they couldn't bring a lamb or a dove with them. So they made an exchange. I'll give you this money for this thing so that I can, in turn, sacrifice it to God. It wasn't set up for bad purposes, but they made it bad purposes. And Jesus walked in there, plaited a rope, and went wild. The Bible says, you know, the zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up. When's the last time the zeal of the Lord hath eaten you up? So that you could go like the son of, who was it? The son of Aaron. I think it was Aaron's son or one anyway. And he took the spear because there was people in the body of Israel. They were dying. There was something that was wrong. There was supposed to be, you know, healing and health and everything else. And people were dying, diseasing and everything else. And Phineas it was. Phineas. So Phineas takes a spear and he says, I know, there's a brother over there and he's taking a Philistine woman and they're fornicating in the tent. He goes in the tent, he puts a spear between both, just right through them both. Kills them.
Well, today they'd haul him off in chains, you wicked man. But God stayed the curse upon Israel because one man had the guts to believe God and to do something about it. I think if this nation that claims to be Christians, if the people stood and said, no more, there would be no more. There wouldn't be all the pollution that goes on. But people, you know, say, well, I don't vote. I don't get involved because, you know what, nothing going to do about it anyway. Listen, your voice, you're just saying, I'm not a voice to this generation. I'm not going to take a stand for this generation. It's over. And you go down and this, you know, everything gets corrupt because nobody ever takes a stand. One man, Mr. Trump, I'm not saying he's a godly man by any means, but he's actually taking more of a godly stand on these things than the church is. On this whole political correctness and everything else that goes with it. And he's taking a stand against it. And you know what? In less than a year's time, about 20 years of political correctness has gone out the door. Why? Because somebody had the courage to take a stand. There's many people we see in the Old Testament just like him. David, Solomon, all married and divorced, and just had all kinds of isms. Look, God has never had a perfect vessel except for Jesus Christ. But he wants people that are willing to take a stand on his word. And God wants us to be a reflector of Jesus Christ. All right? Now, from his sermon, The Indictment, he said, the word is Messiah. The reflection of the word then is what? A reflecting of Messiah. From Paul, a prisoner, he said, and now when I see, like, look, I don't say that because I'm saying, well, hey, rah, 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 let's get behind Trump. I'm saying that because it's refreshing to see somebody take a stand against all the corruption that's been going on for years and years and years. And people have been too politically correct. Oh, I better not say that. You know, the Republicans always, well, we have our standards and we don't talk that way. And the Democrats come along and they talk that way. And they live in sin and everything else. And they say, so what? Then the Republican comes along and he says, well, brother, you know, we just have to pray for them. And so it continues. So Satan comes with his clubs, with his staff, just like the Philistines did. They had 1,000 men, 10,000 men. And they had one son of God who stood there and he had ox goad. And he killed 1,000 Philistines with an ox goad. You know why? Because he just got so sick and tired of it, he decided, I'm going to do something about it. Well, what will happen when the bride of Jesus Christ decides, I'm tired of it, no more, I'm going to speak out? I believe that you're going to see just a total warfare. And that's the way it should be. People are afraid of that. Well, Brother Brown says, now, when I see like if you were sitting out there, usually stand talking, that means that you're living. But it's only a shadow of light. Because anything has got to have darkness in it to make a shadow. See, because a shadow has to possess so much darkness and so much light to make a shadow. And it can't be altogether dark and it can't be altogether light. If it's dark, it's real dark. If it's light, there is no shadow. Nothing to make a shadow. But if it's mixed with dark and light, it makes a shadow. So we are really shadows of light. Now, you are reflecting a light from somewhere. Remember, he said what you are here is only a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Just so if your deeds are evil, you know where you're going. Well, if you're a Christian, see, this be your shadow. It only proves that there is life where you can't die because this life has death in it, see? But if it's a shadow, because you're a living, moving creature with abilities to see, think, move, and talk, and the five senses of the body, but yet you know that you're dying and there's so much trouble, and you know it can only be a reflection, see, that there is life and death mixed together. The physical has to die, but if you are reflecting by your mortal life the light of heaven, then you're reflecting the eternal life of God. Then when you die, you can no more than go to that light because that is what you have reflected. If you are in the dark world, you reflect that, and you can do go no other way but to darkness. See, so we're in a reflection. So we see that as sure as the Holy Spirit reflects light and life, so does death reflect darkness. In here before God. That's why I said, if you're sitting there watching television, that's why my brother Brown said, it's no good, get it out.
Well, now they're proving scientifically everything else about those dimensions and those spirits and everything else. And you're seeing it. You know, years ago, I showed a picture to the church maybe 20, 30 years ago that was actually taken a picture. A person had actually, was their television set had turned blue because it was, you know, the regular signal had gone off. And there was an arm reaching out from the television set. A blue arm. Now, blue is the color of Satan. All right? That's kind of like, you know, Brother Bell taught us that years ago. He said that's, you know, when you have that blue, he said that's a demonic color. And yet we see that out of that fourth dimension, people are reflecting in this world what's on the fourth dimension. Hairstyles, music they listen to, fashion, everything else is being reflected by what they're seeing in the fourth dimension. Well, what if you cut off that fourth dimension? What if all you're seeing is Christ? That's what you're going to reflect. You see? So if you put it into another perspective, if we're reflecting what we see coming from the fourth dimension, TV, etc., then we're going to express that and die in that. But if we're reflecting the voice of God that has been recorded and circling the earth, we'll become that in the way that we live our very lives before God. And that is where we will go to after we leave this earth. But we have to break into that dimension, into that frequency, to become the voice manifested. That's why I said, if your children grow up and the only thing they hear is the voice of God, and the only thing you talk to them about is, we're here for a short period of time. We are here to be reflectors of God's Word. Here's what God's Word says. I want you to do this. You watch, those children will be living images of Christ to a whole generation. Now, as Brother Bram said in a sermon explaining healing and Jairus, said the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. Say, well, some of these days you're going to be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all power in heavens and on earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. Right now we are the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know we'll be like Him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who He called, He justifies. Is that right? Those who He justified, He has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right? We'll find out whether that's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where it come from. You know where your other body is waiting. Now, in closing, from his sermon, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? Brother Branham said, now, the only way to live a life worthy is to let Christ and His Word, which He is the Word, reflect itself so perfect in you till God vindicates what He said in His Word. For Christ died that He might present Himself before God a sacrifice, and it returned back in the form of the Holy Spirit to reflect Himself through His people and to carry on His work, reflecting Himself through you, to fulfill His promised word in these future days, like John the Baptist heard when he heard Christ come, and Christ walked out into the water, and John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Nobody else saw it, but he saw it. That light coming down from heaven like a dove. And only the elect of God's ordained to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son can see that recorded voice that is circling the earth. Only those who were ordained to the adoption of sons can hear it, can recognize it, and can act upon it. From stature of perfect man, he said, and that's what we're supposed to do, is to reflect the Son of God. So how are we going to reflect the Son of God? By doing what He did. By living like He lived. By speaking like He spoke. And so Brother Brown continues, and now we're supposed to do His works. He said, he that believeth on me, St. John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You're beginning to reflect the works of Christ. But so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Now, there's the trouble. I have this also in that that study on John 14:12 I did about 2 or 3 years ago. Now, there's the trouble. We find those things happening. You know it. I know it. We see these stumbles along the road. We find the scrap heap of ministers of Christians piled along the road is because they didn't go about it right. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. How many like that? Would like that? The dwelling place of the living God. So Brother Brown says the problem we're seeing, because we're not seeing John 14:12 like we should be seeing it, he says, is because so many of us try to do the works of Christ before the reflection of Christ is in us. Get that reflection of Christ in you and just watch the works unfold. All right? From it wasn't so from the beginning. He said, if the Scripture says one thing and the church teaches another, that don't work. If Jesus Christ lived in the apostles and done the signs that he was here on earth, it'll do it again if we'll get zeroed in. We got to get zeroed. I don't care what the church says, that it'll group this or that, or Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all this other kind of stuff, and all these creeds and things. One way or the other is all right. It ain't all right with me. If the apostle hit the dot, we can hit the dot too if we'll get zeroed in with God's Word. Let our experience zero with His Word. They did it, and if they did it, why can't we do it? If we'll zero in, it'll do the same thing. Oh, the church says as long as it's hitting, as long as you join the church, shake hands with the pastor, put your name in the book, say the creed, the Apostles' Creed, and so what difference does it make? Well, it makes a lot of difference. You know, you just can't take a gun and go and expect to hit the target. You got to zero it in. Spoken word and the written word. All right? And from identification, we've got to take the entire full gospel. We must. And now, being that we have identified ourselves as full gospel people, let's mold our character. We're invited to be molded in His image, that we might reflect His presence. And the works that I do shall you do also. The life that I live, so shall you. We're invited by God to take Him as an example and let our character be molded like His. What a thing. My. Then when we let His character be in us, then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, the mind, which is His character. Your mind makes your character. Let the mind, Paul said, of Christ, this mind that was in Christ be in you. Let that mind of Christ be in you. It molds the character of a son of God. Amen. That's the character. And listen, that's the only thing we're taking with us. So let's bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, we want to thank You for Your Word. We love it. We ask You, Lord, to mold within us the character of Your Son Jesus, and we know that that can only come by a mindset, a mind change. And as You promise us, if we be any otherwise minded, You reveal it to us. So help us to be mindful. Help us every day when we wake up, every night before we go to bed. Father, if there be anything in my life that's unpleasing to You, reveal it to me, Father, according to Your Word, that I might deal with it, that I might just kill that thing in my life, that all people would see is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May I ask this, Father, in the name of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now if we could have Steve and Brother Justin, I guess, if you could come up and bring the elements with you. And we'll turn in John chapter 13 and we'll read our scripture for communion. Let me just shut this down.